Welcome back to this class on, so you've been asked to preach, or you've been asked to teach, or you've been asked to speak at a function. We've been looking at how do you structure a message, and then how do you conclude the message effectively. And here's where we left off last time, the discouraging finish, that can be an ineffective conclusion because it just creates too much confusion for people. Another kind of ineffective conclusion is what I'm going to call summarizing the whole. Tell them. When I was taught to preach and began studying preaching, I looked at classical preachers in the United States from about the 1950s. And I found that they had a style of organization that was, in the conclusion, you tell people, or in the introduction, you tell people what you're going to tell them. And then you tell them the first point, and then you summarize the first point. And then you tell them the second point, and then you summarize the first point and the second point. And then you tell them the third point, and you tell them, summarize the first and second and third points. And then in the conclusion, you tell them again what you just told them. That can become a very repetitive kind of thing that people in nowadays world of communication that is fast will simply tune out. And so that would be a poor conclusion. Another kind of poor conclusion is what I'm going to call I'm out of time. I've used that one, you only use that in great desperation because all of a sudden these people say, well, wait a minute, you didn't quite wrap it up. You didn't quite finish the puzzle. But sometimes you got to do that. Very early when I was preaching, I was in seminary. I was in a church in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was using a cassette tape back then, a 30-minute cassette tape to tape my messages. And it was July 4th, Sunday, July 4th, which in the United States is a big holiday, so I didn't expect many people in the evening service where I was preaching. But I wanted to tape my message, so I put my recorder, tape recorder, inside the pulpit, and I set it to record me when I started my message. And there weren't that many people there that night, but I started going, and I got lost in my message. I didn't have it well organized. And that 30-minute loop, the recorder clicked off, which is one thing, except it was inside this wooden pulpit, and it was like a gunshot that was reverberated through the whole sanctuary. And people were just kind of like, huh, what was that? And it took me a minute to realize it wasn't a gunshot. It was just my tape recorder going off. And I said, I'm done. And they were relieved, I hate to say it. But that kind of thing says, I didn't organize this very well, did I? And then another kind of bad conclusion is the left field conclusion, and that is that you've been building this case, you've been in this Bible study passage with them, or you in this topic with them, and then at the end you go off on something entirely different. Well, before I go, I just want to say something about this, which has nothing to do with what you said. That will tarnish your message. And so that's what I call the left field conclusion. So those are a variety of ways that don't work very well. What kind of conclusions do work well? What kind of conclusion? Now, this takes work to work on a conclusion that is effective. But here are some kinds of conclusions that are very, very effective. But remember the purpose of conclusions. Emphasizing the main point, sending people off with some kind of action, whether it's a thought or a deed, and then landing the plane so that you come to the conclusion and people are ready to say, yeah. Think again of Tony Campolo in that message. It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. That main point came back at the conclusion, where the conclusion was, you people here gathered in this place, you think you can't impact the world. But I'm telling you, it's only Friday, and then they're all shouting, it's Sunday coming. Wow, it was a send-off with action to be engaged in the world, and it was a landing place for the message. So how do you do that well? Well, one way of doing it extremely well that takes work, but it's incredibly positive, is to connect to your introduction. Now, this man was a radio figure here in the United States for many, many, many years. He had a radio program, and one part of his radio program he would call the rest of the story. So he'd tell a story about someone or something, and then you'd get to the end, and you're kind of craving the end of the story because there was usually a twist at the end of the story. And so he'd begin a story about a young woman, for instance, who was a scientist. But she lived in the middle of the 19th century in England, and women scientists were not accepted. They were not received well. And as a result, she was somebody who just was not able to fulfill her destiny. She spoke once before a group of scientists, and they criticized her to no end, so she decided to give up her dream of being a scientist. But one of the things she then comforted herself with was taking on a task in her life. She had a neighbor boy who was sick, and they were looking for someone to care for him. And so she decided to care for him. And while she was caring for him, she would tell him stories. And she created this world of little rabbits and the story of these rabbits and how they lived out their life. And there were moral lessons along the way, and she illustrated them well and said, in a moment, I'll tell you the rest of the story. And he comes back after commercial, and the rest of the story was, this is the story of Beatrix Potter, who's in the history of the United States, one of the beloved children's authors, with a story about Peter Rabbit. And it's that sort of thing. Now, when you do that in a message, it can be incredibly powerful that you say, here's the introduction, and I'm giving you part of the story, so you want more, you're going to stay tuned, and at the end, we're going to wrap this up. I heard this done recently with somebody preaching about Joseph. It's a young man I was privileged to work with for about 7 or 8 years. And he began his message by the point where Joseph is 31 years old and he's in prison. And he says, I was thinking back to when I was 31. And he described his life when he was 31. He was a worship leader in a church and he had just gotten fired. His wife was pregnant with her second child. They found out their first child had some defects, some health issues that were going to maybe cost a lot of money over a period of time. The economy was, and therefore health insurance was a big thing. And the economy was such that they owned a house, but they owed more on the house than what they could sell it for. And so all of these issues going up, and now what is my future going to hold? And I get fired by this new boss, and we just didn't see right the same way. And then he told about Joseph in that situation and how things changed in a moment. How, you know, all of a sudden he's hauled out of prison. He's forgotten, right? The man that he said, please remember me when you serve Pharaoh again, had forgotten him. He's forgotten for 2 more years. But then all of a sudden he's called to go before Pharaoh to interpret this dream. And he does, and all of a sudden he's second ruler in Egypt. And so things turn like that. At the end of the story, end of the message, he said, last week, a couple of weeks ago, he said, I got to sit down with that man who fired me when I was 31. And we acknowledged our own culpability and what went on and the way things had built. We acknowledged all of that. And then we apologized to each other and we committed to each other as brothers again. And he said, and I got to move on in ministry to where he was at the present time. That kind of thing, that bracketing a message in such a way that the introduction and the conclusion of bracket the message will bring power to your message. So connect to the introduction. Variety of ways you can do that. But if you do it well, this will have power. Now, having said that, our second way is use an illustration of your main point. You know, you've got a main point that you've been emphasizing. Bring an illustration of that point. Somebody who's lived out the action that you're calling people to, that you want them to understand. You want them to understand God's love. Have somebody give a testimony as the conclusion. Have a picture of God's love. I'm preaching on God's love, so that's on mine. I'm preaching on that this Sunday in our church. And, you know, I just think of John Ortberg's word, God is closer than you think. So he ended his a message on that by talking about being on a plane next to somebody, a guy who's on his computer, and he's looking at pictures of his young son. And his son has gotten old enough that he recognizes dad now and sees dad and smiles. And so, you know, this guy is telling John Ortberg about all these, showing him all these pictures of his son that he's got on his computer or his phone, and John Wartburg is thinking about God's love. And he says, suddenly I realized, he said, this was this guy's screensaver, a picture of his son, him with his son. And he said, I realized I'm on God's screensaver. Well, that kind of conclusion, illustration of your point, can be incredibly, incredibly powerful. Asking people to take an action of some sort is another way that can just bring home your point. Now, there are a variety of actions to think about that. I'm thinking of a woman named Rachel Bloom who asked people to come up and light a candle as a prayer for someone. And so at the end of her sermon, just asked people to come up, a bunch of candles up there. It was an action that allowed that message to be cemented in people's lives and minds. In the church I served, we had a practice of this. You know, we'd have people come up and they would do a variety of things, such as writing their sins out and then nailing them onto a cross. We'd have people come forward for prayer. We'd have people gather in groups praying together. One time we had people picking up a stone or dropping a stone or we had to write on a mirror, what do you want to reflect of God's glory? What is it you want to reflect? Or writing names. One time we had people come up and we had plexiglass in a wood frame, and we had people write names of people that they wanted us to pray for, that these people would come to faith. These kind of conclusions are marvelously powerful, and they bring it home, let's say. They bring the message home in a powerful way. So if you could find ways that ask people to take an action of some sort, whatever it is, it will cement your message into their hearts and minds more powerfully. So you can do an action. You connect to your introduction, illustrate your point in action, or an appeal. Now, these appeals could be of a variety of kinds. It could be an appeal to stewardship. In my blog, not long ago, I talked about preaching about money in several posts and things you can do about money. Well, you know, I've been involved, I think, in my ministry in 6 different building programs, and thank God I don't have to do that again. But one of the things we'd have to do is raise money for that. And so oftentimes I would give a message, and the appeal would be, all right, would you make a pledge? Would you make a 3-year pledge that will help us accomplish this this leading of a legacy, or help us accomplish this, reaching out in this community in an impactful way for the next 100 years or whatever? And a stewardship appeal is very important. An appeal that's a response to the gospel, that if in your message you've been giving a gospel and you say, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ today, I want to talk to you, or we've got people available here afterwards to talk to you. It may be signing up for a program. Maybe you're in a sermon series about grief, and now there's Grief Share, which is a marvelous program to help people who are grieving. Come, sign up for this program. It might be introducing a mission and challenging people to be part of that mission. Recently in the church that I'm a part of, we adopted a new mission in Rwanda. And so there was a challenge to say, okay, there's this need within this community. How many of you are willing to go to help build this school? How many of you are willing to fund it, to pay for it? How many of you are willing? It's that kind of appeal, that kind of challenge, that these kind of appeals. And you may be thinking of others, but anything that appeals, makes an appeal to people to engage the gospel more effectively, it can be marvelously powerful. Now, I'm going to continue this next time. I think I've come about to the end of my time for this session. And so next time we'll begin session 9, and we'll see you then.